We're live.
Jobber Nation, welcome to a late night episode of the JTP Lounge. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black. We got our fam in the building. Yeah. Those guys from Black Wrestling Podcast joined us. We will be discussing on this lounge episode their top 50 list. So before we get into it, guys, how long have you guys been doing this list? And what was the true inspiration about creating it?
This is the fourth annual BRP 50 list that looks at the top 50 best Black professional wrestlers, men and women, that are in the square circle today from May 2021 to May 2022. Originally it was kind of born out of necessity. Before we were really moving with like the way the podcast is now, we noticed there were a lot of pods in the space. This would have been, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago, and you know, everybody kind of does a certain thing, like, you know, you start an account, February rolls around, everybody wants to do a Black person every day, you know, which is dope, you know, get Black history out there, but sometimes it turns into the same thing. So our thought was, we've done that before. We like to figure out a way to do something a little different. Mm-hmm. What's a good peg? And Juneteenth, you know, was just an idea, you know, what if we did something and dropped it Juneteenth? Originally, what we wanted to do was do a 100, the BRP 100 list, and we would talk about getting plaques made. Like we had crazy visions for the beginning of the list. It ended up just being, you know, images on Instagram, but it was just like, you know, what's something that we can do that can highlight the larger theme of what we're all trying to do, which is highlight, you know, Black people in the squared circle, but, you know, do something a little different than what other people are doing. And we like making lists. We would rank stuff from time to time. This is a much bigger task because of the way looking at statistics and how you rank TV time versus having titles and things of that nature. But it's been an interesting thing to see grow, you know, now, you know, 4 years strong.
So talk about a little bit of the requirements. Like, what are some of the, like, let's say the top three things you guys look at when you guys are doing your ranking?
So the first thing that I always, you know, in during this little run, we've been making sure to clear up is the list is May to May, and we are ranking the year for the wrestler, not the wrestler. You know what I'm saying? There are going to be catch-as-catch-can guys at the bottom of the list that aren't as high as guys who might not be as great a technical wrestler, but had a better year in ring and in pro wrestling in general. So you're talking title runs, you're talking TV time, you're talking, you know, storylines and how involved were they in positioning and that sort of thing. So those are really the things that are really important, you know, for our list.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. Obviously, I got a question. Dumb, Mr. Black. My question is, how do you, I get it, TV time, all of that, but how do you keep it as realistic as possible as far as just keep it more of a sports element? Because do you count in, like, the other stuff that may be surrounding, like, they have a bad attitude, they don't contribute to the Black culture and stuff like that? Is there like a bias thing? Like, nah, man. Like, for example, let's say the wrestler's name is Black Man Lee Keith, right? Yo, fuck that man because he didn't give me daps, so I don't want him on the list. Are you guys biased like that? Petty like that? Sorry.
I will say this. I'll back up for a second. Everything starts with there's a spreadsheet that we get. Shouts out to Matt. He's not here right now. He sends us a spreadsheet. It's a list of however many wrestlers for that year. It breaks down everything from win-loss record, if they got titles, what the title was, how long they held that title, if they were on the BRP 50 last year, what was that ranking? You know, all those things, all types of different stats. And he sends us the doc and he's like, all right, y'all got a week or two. Take this and make your 50. So what happens is, individually, you know, myself, Fam, Math, Drip, Mimi, as well as, you know, shout out to King Trady from We Love Wrestling. He contributed as well. So there were six individual BRP 50 lists that get mashed into, you know, the one list. And then, and a lot of that, it's you'll start to see patterns. Okay, most of us are having, you know, Bianca at a certain spot, you know, but you'll see some people, and it's just kind of like averaging, taking that average of where it is, putting it together and seeing how everything goes. I say all that to say, with six different lists, there probably are individual biases, but like, you know, so someone might value TV time over, you know, in-ring work, you know what I mean? Some people might value a good promo over, you know, if they're down with social issues or whatever. But I think it's surprisingly 4 years in, when we put all the lists together, there's usually like some work we have to do, like something looks off, or, you know, we're forgetting, you know, Nyla Rose was really dope even though she wasn't on TV. That's something that happened last year. Like, if you look at her record, she had a really good year, but if you look at what was on TV, you weren't really seeing it. You kind of have to make adjustments for things, you know, depending on what the year was for that person. And you know, this year it was probably as close to perfect, you know, like what the list that we ended up with, 90% was already settled before, you know, we were getting all the art and stuff together. It's really been interesting to see that process happen. But also, I mean, also sometimes some things are undeniable, like, you know, Bianca Belair, the year it's hard to, you know, not have her at the top of your list for the most part. Some people might have her at number two. Some people, you know, maybe whatever the case may be. But, you know, there's some things that are undeniable, and then there's some things you might be able to play around with depending on.
The one thing that we kind of don't do, right, and I want to assure folks we don't do this. I said this somewhere else recently. If we took the folks we liked, if we took the folks that we didn't rock with from maybe negative interactions we've had, our list would look very different. So to answer your question, Mr. Black, the pettiness does not come into play until, you know what I mean, we cut the cameras off and the list ain't there, and then we talk crazy, you know what I mean?
Facts. Yeah, keep it in the group chat.
Yeah, ain't no need. Ah. Hey, man, it's enough black people tearing each other down already. We getting out of the paint with that, man. This list is about uplifting black people. So we won't be tearing down even folks, you know what I mean, that may or may not like what it is we do. We still going to be who we are.
So speaking of...
out here, politically correct. Yeah. Oh, so,
Eddie, you know, there's some haters who are on the list. And there's some haters. I say haters. Gotta say the full H-A-T-E-R-S. When it comes to this list, how do you deal, all seriousness, how do you deal with pushback of certain particular wrestlers who's like, I don't want my name anywhere near this list, even though you rank them and give their flowers.
Their flowers.
Still alive to still smell these flowers that smell like delicious cocoa butter at Pink
Lotus. Well, intent will never be able to direct reaction, right? Mm-hmm. So we can have the best of intentions. We can't control how folks respond to anything we do. So we show love. You know what I'm saying? We open the arms like this. Everybody is not going to come with the embrace. You know what I'm saying? And we know that going in. We've dealt with that since very, very early. You know what I'm saying? Dealing 4 years, you know what I mean? 4 years in. So we understand everybody is not going to come in for the embrace. But that's their business. Our list is our list. We ranked who we ranked. You know what I'm saying? I hope you have a good year next year as well. But if you asked to, you know, not to be present, we will indulge.
Thank you for your quote tweet, though. I really appreciate you helping us push the list in a time when, you know, some because realistically, there may have been people that followed, you know, these individuals. They didn't know shit about the BRP.
Correct.
So thank you for helping push us. Because, you know, I was a little lit, you know, especially it was like Black WrestleFest was going on that weekend. There's a lot going on, you know, Juneteenth weekend, Father's Day, all this stuff. So that Saturday night, I was lit.
Oh, happy Father's Day, guys, by the way.
Absolutely. Amazing,
dad. I'm home a little lit because, you know, it was what it was.
It was a good weekend.
It was a great, like, you know, again, you never know what to expect when you do anything like this, whether it's, you know, you're putting out an event, you dropping panels, you know how many people are going to show up and people will be involved, whatever the case may be. And it would be crazy to be like, oh, fuck you, you like whatever, like, you know, you was on the list. It's not like people don't rock with you. If you feel that way, you feel that way. But again, salutes on the quote tweet. Hopefully, you know, you were able to convert some of your followers to get, because we also got a little, the likes went up, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like people, and I'm not even trying to play. It's not like there were people who were not under, like, there was so much love, there was so much support from people that rock with us, people that had no clue about the BRP 50 or a lot of the people on that list. And, you know, again, I love seeing that. I can't express enough how dope it is for people to be like, yo, I learned something from some shit that we was doing, you know, randomly in a Google sheet, you know, one day, you know what I mean? I can only wish we could continue to put on independent Black wrestlers, just Black wrestlers in general, who people may not have realized were as dope as they have been.
Hey, so, man, have you guys...
Maybe he was in character.
Not everybody lives the gimmick. Damn, not everybody is Ric Flair in this bitch. We all do, but not everybody's like that. Have you guys thought about, like, you know, off camera, we talked about other lists and things like that. Have you guys thought about maybe branching and doing different categories? So, like, if you guys did BRP top 20, you know, Black women or independent or, you know, like, have you guys thought about that? And if so, you know, when would you guys do that? Would it be the same time frame as the top 50 now? Like, have you guys thought about that stuff?
I mean, again, like, you know, 2023 would be 5 years of the BRP fit. That's, if there were to be something to go on, that would be a nice number to, you know, make a change or add something. And I mean, you know, it's we've all spoken about it off camera, on camera, whatever. 4 years in, you start to realize that when we started, it was, again, I mentioned we wanted to do 100, but 100 lists would have been a little shaky when you got to 4 years ago. It wasn't the pool of
it wasn't black, there.
It wasn't what it would for a 100 list. It, because we do 50 because we want to make sure that it's. We're scrutinized. We're actually pouring over the numbers to make. If you got a spot, there's a reason why you got that spot, and you can see it in the years. People go up and down. Sunny, you love Sunny Kiss. Sunny Kiss, you know, the last year for Sunny hasn't been that good, so Sunny may not make the list. It's not on us, but it's a situation where there's literally no TV time for Sunny out there. But it's turned into a situation where there's a lot more Black people who are able to perform and before a high level. So thoughts about expanding the list, thoughts about, you know, people have asked, why don't you do a tag teams list or, you know, a list of women, you know, those questions have come up. We're just finishing. We're technically still on the BRP 50 2022 promo run. I think, you know, once this kind of dies down and we really internalize it, any changes in the future. Again, don't be surprised if it's next year. But I'd be lying if I said something was set in stone for anything like that.
Okay. There's also a risk of becoming the list guys.
Right. That's the other thing. You want to make sure something's special and it's not turning into 5 and 6. Because, again, what we want to get on pods and talk shit and, you know, interact with people as well and then do what we do. We don't want to be the top 10 this every other month. You know what I mean? It can get kind of stale just creatively for ourselves and get kind of old after a while.
With the list, so what you guys are doing, I think I've told you guys, you guys are doing something very important, something low-key groundbreaking in some type of ways. My question is, I would like that women's list. I think there's not enough spotlight put on Black female wrestlers, and I don't think we get a real taste of how many that is really out there.
Right. So the thing there, though, don't you think that the think tank that should come up with that, should that be composed of maybe mostly Black women? Because there are enough, there are definitely enough Black women in the space. I mean,
I'll put in an application.
It's only one of us in here got hair coming out of our head right now.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
true. Shit. Oh, that's, I didn't notice that.
It's the reason why I got a hat on right now.
I forgot
because
he has a hat on.
Yeah. No, but
what are you talking about? We're not all bald. Oh, but yeah, we are.
That is a good point, though. But again, you know, shout to Mimi. You know, Mimi was, I think, in this last year, a really strong addition. And I think if Mimi had joined the pod maybe in, like, July or August of last year, I wouldn't be surprised if we had seen some of those movements that we're talking about right now, just because of, you know, where I see her, where her mind is and how she thinks about approaching these things. But I will also say, if you go to blackwrestling.com, there is an article up there specifically about what I noticed when I was looking at the BRP 50 list in terms of what Black women were able to do. And not just Bianca, not just Jade Cargill. And we're talking about the Tasha Steeles and Impact. We're talking about
Willow
Nightingale. You know, Willow Nightingale is someone I'm very high on. And she was someone, again, a couple years ago, she wasn't on the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
We did get cussed out, but you know what it was? We also noticed that over this last year, a lot of these women that people, Black women, white women, whatever federation you're looking at, she's been getting in the ring with these people and really making them work. So, you know, it's dope to see. Again, just be able to chart that stuff. It's always dope to see how people move up and down, you know, especially when they put in that work.
So with the past 5 years, like almost 5 years, you guys have been doing it. What have you seen when it comes to Blacks in wrestling? What have you, because doing this list, you kind of got to pay attention a lot closer than the average person who's watching in general. So what have you seen over the past 5 years when it comes to Blacks in wrestling?
I think the really dope thing we've seen are less and less of traditional archetypes of what a Black wrestler is. It's not just smiley, strong nigga. It ain't just the angry nigga. You know what I'm saying? There's so many varied images of Black people and different types of Black people. And to me, I would honestly credit a lot of that to what the New Day did, right? In what they've done, you know what I mean? As far as their run, is they, none of them were traditional Black this or the Black this or the Black, you know what I mean? They were just a guy who did X, Y, and Z, and he happened to be Black as well as a pro wrestler. And I think the dope part is you get to see kind of a lot of different versions of what Black is, man. And that's really my favorite part of the list.
I one thing I always love, and again, salutes to Math, because even outside of the list, one thing that outside of everybody, Math's probably the one that's most tapped into independent talent specifically. Mm-hmm. And it'd be some weekends, he'd be like, yo, I'm sorry, I'm late. I just threw up 3-4 posts on the IG. And look, and it's like, oh, JTG just won a title out here. Oh, this Culture Inc. just won this out here. You know, and to look at the list, and again, because there's literally a column. One of these days I'm going to take a photo of it. There's a column just with titles and title reigns. And I knew there were a lot of indie titles out there, and I knew there were a lot of Black people holding indie titles. But to see the list and then see some people be like, yo, like Trisha Dora's title run with the PAWD championship right now, that's like 2 years plus right now. Like, you know, but it's like people know she's got the title, but people aren't really thinking about stuff like that. We know that Jade Cargill went, you know, 30 plus wins, which is dope. And she's got that TBS title on the shoulder, which she deserves. But, you know, people like Trisha Dora, who are wrestling against women like that, as well as being in other places, it's ill to still be able to say, damn, she's really been able to take on all comers and hold that belt for years.
Dang. What kind of pushback do you get against the white people? Like, are they like encouraging the list? Are they against it? Do they say, oh, y'all racist because you put black people on your list? So what kind of pushback do you get from the white people?
I haven't met anybody brave enough to say anything crazy.
Yeah, I'm not. If there are issues specifically with, well, you got 50 black wrestlers, I mean, I've not heard it. And funny enough, when, you know, that conversation that was going on earlier about, you know, people feeling a certain type of way and not wanting to be on the list, I've heard people being surprised because their white homies would hit them in the DM and be like, yo, why are they even bugging out? Like, they don't realize what this list is about and what it's trying to. So, again, 4 years strong, you'd be surprised with who's paying attention and who's understanding and where those people stand when you have to, you know, choose sides. But, again, I'm just a person that, you know, works with some people that looks at a sheet of stats all year. I don't know what else is going on in the world with these people.
So how you guys not take it personal when our own people be like, I don't want to be on the list? Because to me, is no offense to y'all, it's just like when it comes to us, we don't treat it as high regard, like the BET Awards. Now it's getting more popping because we put more money behind it. There's more views and stuff like that. But in the beginning, niggas was not dressing up for the BET Award. Yes. It was just like if niggas was about to go shoot CeeLo, you know, about to smoke, and that's it. It wasn't that serious. So how you guys take that when, like, somebody, like, let's say, again, wrestler Keith Lee Bandit, he's like, yo, this is my nigga. He's nice. And he said, take me off the list. How you not take it personal? How you not enjoy him on television? And you try to give him flowers, but he rejects it.
Because he wants to be a hoe? Swear?
I know where we are, but I used to work at Complex. I was almost 10 years at Complex in my life, and I've not only have I written my fair share of lists, but I've had my Twitter mentions be in flames over lists or things that I've written. Like, you know, it's just kind of like part of what you got to do. You know what I mean? If you're putting your opinion, your voice out there. If at my big age, if I was on some like, damn, these people don't agree with me type shit, then I would need to be, you know, sitting with them, listening to, you know, other people, you know, who had the balls, you know, pardon, you know, just to put their opinions out there. But I will also say this, because Black, I think you made a good point there in terms of the BET Awards, because that's how a lot of this stuff is. And it's the one thing that kind of pisses me off sometimes about the list. It's Rome wasn't built in a day, right? And I understand that the work that we're doing right now, it's important, you know, it's way more important even than we probably realize, because it's not for us. It's for the little kids at Victor Perry's wrestling club who every week are cutting the most amazing promos. You know, those kids want to be people. But I also know that I have to be patient because shit takes time. And with that, they're going to be white people. There's going to be black people. There's going to be people that just don't like who we have in the list. Be like, y'all are some bullshit. Fuck this list, whatever. I'm grown enough and I understand that, you know, not everybody's going to see our way. But my hope is that the foundation that we're laying can be a part of the panels that y'all put on, part of the Black Girl Magic. Because this is really about, I mean, this is new media, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when we were coming up as pro wrestling fans, we didn't have black people like us who understood pro wrestling, who can put together shows, who can interview people, who can run podcasts. Like, these were just fantasies for us because we didn't see ourselves out there. So we are all a part of the push to change this shit for us. And for our grandkids and for our nieces and nephews and what have you. And that means that in the beginning, people are not going to understand and they are going to throw stones and they are going to say, I don't want to be associated with that. And that's cool. I take notes, but then I keep it moving because, you know, we got to do Jobber Tears next week. And then we got a show to do on Thursday. And there's the pay-per-view Saturday. Like the train don't stop. And I see where I'm focused on where we're supposed to be going. Fam is too. Everybody is. So it's a thing where we're looking towards that. And we're not worried about, you know, the rocks or the tomatoes that people throw. Because that comes with, you know, putting yourself out there. It is what it is.
Hey, man. And shout out to y'all for being part of the change in the new media. Facts. You know what I'm saying? And Janelle, oh, thank you. Lee going to referee. You know what I mean? Everything. Y'all are really, y'all really capture the direction and the things that we are holding dear. Because it's going to push us forward and kind of – we have to validate ourselves.
Facts.
And I will say this to any black worker out here that wants to come down. Listen, what we're doing, our purpose is really to validate ourselves so that we can validate y'all, because that PWI, they're not going to shine the same light. You know what I'm saying? And they can't because they don't have the same experience.
Right.
So
it's not even, you know, a slight.
It's not a diss.
Yeah, it's just what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like these companies need to have these voices in the room. They don't have them. To be able to tell proper stories from other perspectives other than ours. So we have to tell those stories from our perspective, but we have to be validated first, and we have to validate ourselves because no one else. You know what I'm saying? Old school will.
So let's take it a little bit back. We know that number one this year was, of course, the phenomenal Bianca
AJ Bella. Styles? Oh.
If y'all had put AJ Styles on it, I wouldn't have complained. I'm just going to put it on.
Outstanding.
But
we'll see. What after 5 years, it'll be one white person can make it. Who's gonna make it?
Alan, I think you should have a bonus.
The white VP,
the white Mike Ward. We'll work.
So, I mean, the one white person this year would have been Cody Rhodes. The one white person this year.
Wow, that's an interesting conversation. Well, wait, welcome.
White privilege pick.
What would have been your white person that you would have put on the BRP 50 from this past year?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Been Cody, of course. Cody Luther.
It would have been Cody.
Cody has been pushing culture for a very long time. His biracial child was supposed to end slavery and and racism in America.
Seth Rollins has been out here.
Niggas love running. Seth Rollins. I'll tell you that much. Niggas do.
I'm gonna hold you. Seth and Rollins. then now
he. But he don't count. He's Spanish, so he don't count.
Oh, no, he's adopted.
Kobe Lopez?
He's adopted, though.
Kobe Lopez is not a white man.
Kobe Lopez is definitely a white man.
I hate you all. But going back to my question, who can you guys let the viewers know who were your number ones the last 3 years? And then the follow-up question is, who was the biggest jump from last year to this year?
Man, wait, hold up. You be asking questions.
I think Willow was the biggest jump, right?
Willow was a big jump this year. Actually, let me get...
Fun fact, Bobby Lashley was number two.
Two both get back-to-back, which is interesting, too. I also want to ask about your number nine, because that's very interesting, and I very much disagree. But
All right. Well, Cal's looking it up. So what's wrong with number nine?
Yeah, what's Scorpio Sky's number nine? But again, I want to say, like y'all asked earlier, no bias.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bias.
I'm saying collectively there is a people feel a way about certain people, but you can't deny certain things.
It's not a bias, though, but for Tasha Steelz to be the first woman to ever win Ultimate X and not be ahead of that nigga, she made history. I want to know what that nigga did.
No, you're right, but again, this is
history. First ever black team champion.
But the thing is, this is where certain things come into play, though, because some people might take the fact that she did that, but maybe it was a lesser of an impact because she was on Impact, no pun intended. And it's not, I'm saying it's not, it's only seen by certain, you know, certain amount of people compared to Scorpio Sky, and didn't he also have like a
Scorpio Sky having that win loss streak that's on YouTube? Come on now.
I'm just going based off of what happened with six people.
I had my notes, so he was on the top of that note, like number nine.
Again, it's well, let me look at his official stats because he was also 20-4.
Yeah.
You know, the two-time TNT champion, a black guy. He's a black because Cody Rhodes wasn't letting none of them black people win the TNT championship.
I mean, because there ain't none over here. So who was
he wrestled all of them. He beat him. That happened. That was last time.
Oh yeah, Cody was beat niggas.
He beat all of that whole summer. He beat all the niggas.
The one I remember he beat was Dante Martin. And that was
Dante Martin. He beat the English nigga, the boxer. He beat all the niggas that summer.
Yeah. He was.
So that wasn't his fault.
Hey, Ricky Starks.
Ricky, he beat any black person he faced while he was champion. He lost to. He got beat by Sammy Guevara.
He was thinking about all them arguments he was losing at the house. He was like, "Oh, I'm gonna get back to y'all. Watch."
Oh, fuck me! All right, is Sonny available this week? Fuck me! All right. I'm sorry.
So, what do you guys have? You guys ever thought about releasing that 60 to 69?
You mean after the 50?
Yeah, there is an after the 50 salutes to We Love Wrestling. This is it's kind of on the low
because I'm intrigued to know who was. Well, I guess 51 to 69.
Again, that's the thing, and I mean, I'm trying to see because there's a lot of people who were like Carmelo Hayes. You know, there were people who were Willow Nightingale who were after the 50 in previous years who then made the jump to the main list. A lot of people that you see bubbling again. I don't know when it's going to drop. I forget when Terry said it, but it's going to be dropping soon. This year's after the 50. Again, salutes to Wheel of Wrestling. Subscribe to them. They'll probably have a video ready for it at some point.
We Love Wrestling is like the XXL/unsigned hype of like
facts.
I give Terry that. Terry will get on a plane and go to Texas and go back. No problem.
Gets a red eye and everything. Yeah.
Shout out to the only Trey.
We spoke about the present with you guys, and we also spoke about the past. What do you see the future hold for professional wrestling when it comes to black wrestlers? Because in my eyes, this is something I legit feel. 20 years. Maybe even less than that is going to be like the NBA.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear Fab and Cal's thoughts on that about the future of professional wrestling when it comes to black wrestlers.
Do you remember Jimmy? This is old school right here. Do you guys remember Jimmy the Greek?
No.
So Jimmy the Greek was a guy who would come on sports or Sundays on football game, right? And he would like set the lines. He was known for like setting the lines and knowing who was going to win and whatnot. And they asked him, like, how do you come up with the lines and setting the lines?
Oh my God. That dude that said that wild comment, he got in trouble.
And he said, "What wild comment? You know what? I always bet on the black guys because the black guys, it all goes all the way back to slavery.
I remember that.
Biggest and best and strongest. Woman with the biggest, best, and strongest man. And eventually, if you bred black people like that, they were going to create these superior athletes.
And but he's right, though. Technically, he's right.
To be honest, Jimmy the Greek wasn't lying. So the problem is now these fruits that they use to build their company, not country, not to get too deep, are now in these sports leagues taking over because they were built and bred to be great. And now, because, you know what I mean, we're in a situation where we're in, these people are jumping into the professional wrestling bag because it's a bag, and they can shine and get busy. Look at the Stevenson kid. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
him and his brother getting busy in wrestling.
This is the future. You saw the new lineup of the new recruits. Down in Jacksonville or whatever.
Number of black Orlando. People. Yeah.
Yeah, that new class that they got coming in, you know what I'm saying?
They have picked up a few people, if not one or two, from like an HBCU.
Yeah.
That was dope.
We interviewed him 2 weeks ago.
That's what's up.
Yeah, there's a black. Yeah, that was one I wanted him to try to find because he goes. He's from Long Island and he goes to Hofstra and he got picked up. So okay. I was just like,
the NIL thing is low, and I know a lot of people have some issues with it, but.
It's because young black kids are going to get rich off of it is why they have problems.
No, but some people, I saw some little Twitter comments online. So the way the NIL works, a lot of people don't know this. In general, it's basically I can get a bag real quick from a car dealership, right? Mm-hmm. A car dealership says, hey fam, you out here getting 1,000 yards these past two seasons, every season you get 1,000. Let's give you $400-$500 to put your face on something, right? Mm-hmm. The way the NIL works for WWE is that you can get a job after college. Let's say the football shit don't work out for you. Mm-hmm. You have a pathway to go to the performance center, get a pack, train over there, get a place to live, and you could potentially, you're not guaranteed a spot.
You got to work, yeah.
To get a spot in WWE. The mm-hmm. NIL is a great program, and they're looking for top performers and athletes, and I'm all for that shit. I'm just saying.
You're basically saying this way, from people may not know. So a dude that's playing basketball, right? He don't have to go overseas in a new country, deal with stupidness where he could just go down to Florida, chill, watch wrestling, all of that. So my thing is this way. It seems like the smelly wrestling fans don't see the bigger picture. I don't see how is that a bad thing if we get these athletes.
The thing, though, is when you don't think out, when you're kind of in this narrow box and you're so used to what it was 60 years ago, it's hard to see what something new, and no one likes, everyone has an issue with change at the end of the day. Facts. And because it gives people that look like us this equal opportunity, then that's when it becomes a problem.
But again, that's why it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about what we're all really doing, what the bigger picture of what we're all doing as creatives, as content creators, in the various spaces. We have to be that change. You know what I'm saying? And in order for the future to be a certain, because we're at a time right now where we talk about these superior athletes. We're talking about Bianca Belair. We're talking about your Jade Cargills, your Montez Ford. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that your last legends. There's black people that are on the come up right now that are able to do things. Dwayne Martin, that other people just aren't. Chris Bay, that just aren't able to. They can't even fathom. And it's not just, oh, I'm the best flippy motherfucker out here. Oh, I'm the best promo out here. They've got it all, and then they got swag as well. You know what I'm saying? Like it's at a certain and at a time. I don't want people to be a little shaky, but at a time where they're officially saying that hip hop is the number one in all music genres right now, that's why they tried to push a Hit Row. They smelled that in the air and they was being reactive, but it's going to be people that actually have that in them. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause speaking to Bianca Belair, it's not an act. She's not putting on anything. That's why everything is saying that is she's so unapologetically herself. She's just being Bianca. It just so happens that that's a braid and her making her own swagged out gear for herself and her man and doing the damn thing. She's just being herself. It just happens to be that shit
if she could just come up, if she could just come up with like a little something better for Dawkins, I just think it would be really good.
He might be bullheaded. I don't think
they should give him some like a singlet. I don't know.
Her man is very very accepting of like change, and he's very adventurous in his gear. And Dawkins, he's got two headbands.
Dawkins dressed in ring like he going to get some coochie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he got this ball shorts.
He's going to get coochie after he played ball.
That's how he dressed. He's just like, all right.
He definitely married his father.
No, I'm just saying, but that's how he dressed. He dressed like, look, all right, sure.
And one ball shorts.
I think he doesn't want to take her advice because he's married, and he doesn't want to. Maybe his wife needs to be telling him how to dress, maybe.
He needs to hug. He's not paying attention to somebody, whoever it needs to be.
He looked like the Black Eddie Kingston. I don't want
to. No, he does look like the Black Eddie Kingston.
I can't see it.
But he don't have the swag, though, so I can't really...
Do me a favor.
I'm just talking about the fit.
Do me a favor.
Eddie Kingston will come out in Tim's. I can vision.
Go watch Forbidden Door, because Eddie Kingston, he had the singlet top on. Put some and one ball shorts on that and a headband on. That is Dawkins.
That is just his carry-on outfit, because he knew he wasn't fucking with anything in that ring. He was not fucking with one.
Oh, Eddie Kingston? Ring.
Yeah.
No, that's his everyday. That's him on the block.
That's my biggest thing with AEW, bro. Like, they got to learn how to dress over there. And I'm talking about across the board.
They got the baddies.
But besides those, I don't mean to cut you off, Cal. Besides the baddie, which is like maybe three people. Yeah. If you watch Forbidden Door, I know we're going way off subject right now. If you watch Forbidden Door, the Japanese wrestlers showed out when it comes to pageantry and how they dress, how they carry themselves. Like
a video game character.
Like, their presentation is fire. Like, half of the people, and I'm talking about men and women, they look like they rolled out of bed, most of them.
Because the other thing is, and this is, it's really indicative of, like, hype beast/sneaker culture, because it's all about what's on your feet. Like the AEW locker room, they say they're the big Young Bucks, they all got sneakers. But when you watch Dynamite and you watch I feel bad, but if you watch like the Jericho Appreciation Society, watch how though Daniel Garcia, like he'll have whatever, like, you know, panda dunks or whatever, but the rest of the fit, it be like the tight singlet with some white jeans and then like the Kango to the back. It just looks like people don't know what they're doing.
That's the second time Jericho did that shit, because even with the Inner Circle, they never looked like a circle of friends ever.
I said that was what the Hit Row looked like, because they would have colors, but their fit, like, even if y'all not going to dress the same.
The boys said that. We had an episode. They said it was wild. Literally, they said the same thing you said, Cal. And, like, maybe 2 weeks after that, them niggas' whole shit switched.
They switched it up. I got blue on my shoes. He got blue on his shirt. Like, you can see that they really made some change.
It's pageantry. That's what wrestling is about. Like, and I don't think people fully understand it. And I think, which is the beautiful thing about Black wrestlers, we understand fit, because we used to get made fun of when you were a kid. You getting made fun of if you're fitting
on the bus, in class, in the bathroom, anywhere. If the sneakers don't look right, your pants is a little too flooded, you gonna get Jones on, and that'll be you. Oh, look at Terry over there with the high water. And his pants would be down to his damn ankles. Look at him with that's high water Terry over there. 20 years later, it is what it is.
But the thing about it is, I'm gonna say it this way. I'm gonna say this from what I noticed. You know. When I went with my niggas to Dirty Heels, we dress, all of us dress. The thing about wrestling fans is they don't care about fits. So a lot of them become wrestlers. Because when I'm in the locker room, I'm looking around. I'm looking like, bro, why are you dressing like this? Yo, I be putting up the ring. Certain people I see around, they look like they rolled out of bed. So when it comes to wrestling, is you don't get kudo points to dressing fly, because there's not much of us to really understand that. For example, I don't care what anyone says. I'm not being biased. Just fuck it. Seth, somebody, he's a drip guy, whatever. He got that from my brother. Somebody probably showed him it and said, "Yo, Seth, you should call yourself that." Cool. Because nobody was not talking about drip like that until my brother mentioned it. But also, no white boy, none of that.
It's also a culture thing, because Mexican wrestlers are the best dressed wrestlers in the world.
Inside and outside of the ring, they will spend money on their gear, and that's another thing. Sometimes, like, I have to get on certain people. Is like how that's why, like, people didn't understand when I used to talk about Ember Moon's hair. it wasn't because of her. It was because you are a representation on real live TV of a person that looks like me. So you out here with your edges not laid.
Yeah, but her husband is the king of the black girls.
But wait, Janelle, we don't talk about him. But Janelle,
she's not married.
I like that you said that because when I worked a certain, like I used to. Every week we would go like live on Facebook, you know, just talk about whatever is going on, movies, TV, whatever. I could not have the same shirt on in two different episodes. I wasn't getting a fucking garment stipend, another issue, but I knew, oh damn, I got to record Thursday. I wore that last week. Let me put this to the back of the line or whatever.
That's what happens when
real talk comes in the air. You know, just shit just happens. But that's just like I know it, the fit that I wore at Black WrestleFest. I better damn sure not have none of that on if you see me at, you know, Black Girl Magic and see me at another Jabba Tears event. Because I mean, it is what it is. But there's the Kevin Owens, there's the Eddie Kingston, all them, and
Cody's Cody Luther X because he's there with a nice fit on.
But that's old school. That's Dusty Rhodes' son. He's cut from that older cloth. He's not with the cats now. They don't really. But shouts out to Big E. You know, like when they
tripped up the game hard.
But
it was crazy because like it comes with right before he won the title. Everybody will always talk about how he just played games and he can't be taken serious. And then when him and that Paul Heyman thing happened and talking smack, and then after that, and then when he won the championship, you ain't never see that nigga outside of that ring without a suit on.
I did see that nigga with that cat daddy outfit on IG.
Don't.
Yeah, that was funny.
He was suited and booted, you see what was
next to him at that boxing thing. I understand why he got right.
The thing about it is, I'll say this 1,001 times is when you don't come from money,
right?
Like Vince didn't come from money, you start noticing like I gotta look fly all the time because it's whatever. He understands pageantry. Difference between I said this before, Tony Khan and Vince. Tony Khan came from money. There's no consequences, action, none of that. Nobody will make fun of Tony Khan because guess what? He'll get his daddy to, like, you know, probably sue you and after that, you know, hire something like that.
Vince, is that why he was hugging niggas like that?
Tony Khan is socially awkward. He is what a lot of wrestling fans are that who don't watch. He is the cult leader of niggas who don't watch in wrestling, Tony Khan. Vince is like us. Yo, you may not be the best wrestler, but your drip is on point. I can advertise you. Like, it's true, though, because look at it. No, for real. You think that Vince will let Eddie Garcia wear that stupidness?
No, you're right.
You go, what the hell are you wearing? But Dawkins is presentable, though. He's clean.
You gotta just have a one-on-one convo with him at this point. Like I ain't.
No, I seen him. I bigged up him. You know what I mean? And the nigga. Yeah.
But you didn't tell him that.
He had Old Dog slippers on and a yellow hoodie. I said, you know what? You at the bar.
He had the thin hoodie with the blazer on.
But where is he from? That's also what you guys still gotta think.
He's from the Midwest.
That's why.
He's like from Ohio. I know
niggas from the Midwest.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, shit. We love wrestling.
Yeah, he's like a and Terry ass with clothes bigger than him. So yeah. I love him, but we be like Terry, it's true.
Well, you know, listen, we're blessed because we live in New York. A lot of people in New York and New York, Baltimore, and that whole area, we understand flyness. People understand that's a vantage. So us coming to wrestling, we look like the outcast. Look, you know how many times I be at wrestling with me. Bone for the Dirty Heels. I'm Kofi. And then just grill us. It's like, we don't want to talk to them because they think that we're a bunch of hood niggas.
I mean, you is.
Wait, what, do you?
I said that.
How drunk you be black?
Yo, but that's why I'm drawn to. You know what
right?
I mean?
No, that's that real shit. It's real.
But also they're from a different place. Like I always will say this: anybody out of the Northeast, for the most part, still dress like it's back in 2005.
Facts.
I be seeing it. I'm not wearing no fitted clothes. Well, I look like wearing a medium. So, not wearing 2X.
It took a while for a lot of cats to be like, you know what? I maybe I don't need to be wearing baggy jeans. And then sometimes they went a little too fitted. This is you can't put your cell phone in your pockets, but you know some of them don't.
But that's why hit roll took a while to come around, because for me personally, it was like you guys feel like 2006, 2007, 2020. This is in 2021 for me. Yeah. I get what you guys are trying to do, but then when they finally came around and started really doing stuff, now it's like, oh, this feels like modern day. This is right. Like 2005 and 2006, like niggas is doing a Soulja Boy dance.
who was the rapper that was it Lil Uzi Vert was at the AEW show?
I have no idea.
Tony Khan wanted him to perform.
See,
yeah, his party book was too.
But that's not even his audience, so that would have been.
It's not.
It speaks to how all because like he may like Lil Uzi Vert, but he don't realize that just because you like Lil Uzi Vert don't mean that Lil Uzi Vert is trying to rap at your wrestling show.
I want to see the wrestling. I dare you to ask Tony Khan 5 Lil Uzi Vert songs.
Listen,
I'm gonna be honest. I would fail that test as well.
But you know what? I would dare me to ask him anything. I would love to have a conversation with Tony Khan.
Me too.
If you're talking outside of, I don't want to
like,
say
the body, next like, media thing. The next media thing he does, he should do it in a room of a bunch of niggas.
Yeah,
or as
he would say, black and brown people. Like you know, like let's let the scrum look like what AEW, the diversity and inclusion. You know what I mean? Because I know it's a lot of people that look like a lot of people that I've seen talking about pro wrestling over.
What they've done is they've decided and they've peeped the folks, because they're folks that definitely are, you know, big AEW guys, mm-hmm. and I think they've identified the black contingency there, and they have attached themselves to them. So I think they found their folks that validate their inner quota of blacks that they need to speak to. But they've attached themselves to some folks and they make them feel like they are doing what they said they were going to do as regards to diversity at the beginning in their inception. Yeah, I think
it came out of a rap album, so that was good enough on Black History Month.
And that was tone deaf. No,
it was Black History Month, and they said, "Yeah, get a mic to the niggas."
No, and then on top of that, he ends up just grouping all the niggas together and thinking that that's just gonna help us. That's just gonna keep us quiet.
They did do that on the pay per view, didn't they?
Listen, I'm a big company. I'm going to control the narrative. All companies do that. Mm-hmm. You know what? I look at it from the business point. It may not be right, but you know what? I'm going to control the narrative of how I want things to be. I can't put a bunch of other people who don't agree with what I do in a room and make me look foolish.
Yeah, but you know what that means, right?
How do you grow from? Like, how do you grow?
That's the problem, though, right?
That's the problem. And the thing is, they don't see that yet.
Right.
And they don't see that this. You have to get challenged. You have to get pushed. Because the thing about it, we have people on. You guys have people on your show. We have people on our show. It's like that challenge is what we're saying. And you want to have those conversations. Mm-hmm. You want to understand these different points of view because that's how it grows. But a lot of times, big companies want to control a narrative that they have. Like, so I'm gonna bring only these types of people in here
because that's on payroll.
They follow my vision that I'm
they won't embarrass me. I'm gonna invite them to the room because they're my friends and they won't embarrass me. So
I'm not mad at it. I don't care.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't need a media scrum to do what I do. You know, if I needed that, then I would be making, you know, I'd be doing really, really shoddy business. But I think right now, Tony, I think the one key is Tony's not really like had to eat a loss yet, like a real like black eye. You know what I'm saying? He's had little bumps and bruises, but nothing that he couldn't pay away. You know,
yeah, he's been able to maneuver well
away. But there's a lot of people injured right now. If he was really starting to like lose momentum in whatever way you would typify that, whether it's a record lows in views or, you know, a drop in pay-per-views, whatever the case may be, he's gonna have to learn by losing because he's been doing too much of
that is true.
Everything that's good for the fans, and they eat all that shit up. He ain't, I don't know if he's ready for it or not. Again, we talk about him being awkward and he's born out of money. I don't know how he was brought up, but I've not seen him have to bounce back from it like a real blow yet. So, you know, I pay attention.
He bought the wrestling media, so it's not, and the thing about it, I'm never mad about mafia moves.
Yeah, like I'm not Boston.
Wilkins loves Monopoly.
Yes.
Well, that and anything that kind of mimics like drug cartel or like just
all about that.
Shit like that, he loves that shit.
I think in my past life, I was a massive drug dealer and I got shot on some type of thing. I'm keeping a buck, but I'm all for shady business being done. I don't like shady business. I need to sleep at night. Like I personally like hearing the stories of it because I like that type of shit. But yeah, I can't.
Because you is it because you can kind of see the direct line to like cutthroat business to success? Like I've seen a lot of people, you know, a lot of times you tell that real story when that dark side of the business come out years later, you see, oh yeah, he might have beat his old lady up, but they paid somebody off. Keep that in the wraps because the company was going to the moon. And that's kind of a lot what a lot of American stories are success, you know what I mean, from people from the bottom. But then we find out when they was at the bottom, they was getting dirty in the mud
too. Of course. I just think Tony's at a point where, and I think Cal mentioned it, and it's like he never had any major pushback, anything that will take the legs from under him and make him have to stand back up. Mm-hmm. So,
this video game could be the one.
Nah.
It's got to be. If that game is bad, it's going to be interesting to see how people respond. I don't know if it'll
kill you, but WWE just put a bad game out 2 years ago.
WWE
didn't spend $20 million plus for a video game.
That's a lot of fucking money.
If it be that bad, I think they will. Or, you know what? The game will be bad, but biased people will say the game is good.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, and this is the thing that keeps them afloat right now, is they're still in somewhat of a honeymoon phase. Because you remember we had 2 years that didn't count, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had 2 years of wrestling that didn't count, and they were brand new right before then. So it's still them, it's cool, you know what I'm saying? They're still in a honeymoon phase with the fans don't see anything wrong, you know what I'm saying?
At all.
You know what I mean? They're going to the bathroom, it's cute, you know what I mean? Don't stink because I love them, you know what I'm saying? Give it a couple more months, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? They'd be like, oh boy, I seen that pay-per-view, boy. God.
But then, because
dark years of WWE bad programming.
Where
So now you're so, it's like being in like you said, it's like being in a bad relationship with somebody, and like you finally got a glimpse of something different, even though it's not that much better.
Mm-hmm.
You like, yo, I'm gonna go over here. This is so much better, even though it's not that much better. And a lot of wrestlers just don't care because they get in the bag. They're not going to complain. Mm-hmm. I'm working one day a week, some if that, and I'm making either the same amount of money or I'm making more. Tony Storm barely works.
Right.
And she kept her OnlyFans.
80% of the niggas on that roster barely work. So
yeah.
So
just gonna throw that on the table.
But the thing about it, with all these injuries, this is actually a good time for him. I got mad people in the back.
You gotta not step up. Nothing.
Hey, that's which one of y'all got the voodoo doll for the wrestlers? Yeah. Which one of y'all is at home just, like, you know, somebody in the house.
Back.
Listen, I would have never done that to Cody Rhodes. Let's just put that on the table.
I was like, rip his titty off.
This is good stuff, though. This is good stuff because this is like regular sports. Y'all follow regular sports. Like people going back and forth. I might go here. And then
Now you got to see who steps up to the plate.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what people were saying about Orange Cassidy on Sunday. Like, you know, that's one of those.
Oh,
like,
that's match of the night.
But really, they
got busy.
Put the lock room on notice because he's injured too. I mean, he had the grip tape and shit on as well, but he went out there and it wasn't like on his own. That was with Will Ospreay. You know, I mean, he was able to do the damn thing. If you were in the back and you want to aspire to be on the position, you got to look at that match and be like, shit, I got to do better than that.
They got busy, man. I couldn't wait for Gene Jackson versus Furco all night. That was what I was
on that note. Gentlemen, do you guys have any last questions about the Black Wrestling Podcast Top 50 of 2022? Anything? All right, guys. Well, you guys let the viewers and listeners know where to find you guys and all of that jazz. Go for it.
The best place, blackwrestling.com is a website. As always, you can find the Black Wrestling Podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. We go live every Thursday, youtube.com/blackwrestling, 8:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
WCW?
8:35 live, baby.
8:35 live. This is what we do. Shouts out to the folks in the chat. Shouts out to everybody on Patreon, patreon.com/blackwrestling. You can pay the one. You can pay the 10. Exclusive content over there as well as some other perks if you want. Again, at Black Wrestling, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I think that's it.
Hey man, hit that goddamn YouTube. Hit that YouTube. Hit that subscribe.
Look, he's like, that's where you make the money.
I mean, we right there. We right there. It's so close you could taste it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, make sure to support them in their quest of getting some coin out of the YouTube land. But once again, thank you guys. And once again, thank you guys for what you guys have contributed to the community as well. It's, you know, once again, we're all in this journey together and we have our highs and we have our lows. But doing things like this and giving people flowers while they are still here to see it should not be, you know, taken for granted. So anybody that don't want to be on the list, respect their wishes, but respectfully, they should shut the fuck up. But all right.
Thank you. As always, I'm Janelle from HR.
Here, Mr. Wilkins and Mr. Black, and of course, our brothers from the Black Wrestling Podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining us. #BlackExcellence #WeAreOut.
Peace.